We're thrilled that you're here, and we believe that God has a very powerful thing to say to us this morning. Let's bow together in prayer. Dear Father, as we open your word, we pray that the Holy Spirit would move in our hearts. We pray that you would quicken our minds, give us insight into who you are, and give us insight into who our enemy is. I pray, dear Father, that your word would illuminate our minds and would give us an understanding about the spiritual reality of this world. And I pray this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. The title of my message this morning is Your Spiritual Enemy, the Devil. I think probably everyone in this room saw that chilling photo on CNN or Fox of the catastrophe that took place with James Foley this week. A 40-year-old man, a journalist from New Hampshire, a guy that was known as a person with an incredible heart, a person with an incredible mind. He took younger journalists under his wing. He protected them. Everyone who talked about James Foley said he was a phenomenal human being. I don't know if I will ever forget the image of him on his knees with an orange jumpsuit on, with an ISIS soldier behind him with a knife, only seconds before he was beheaded. It sent chills down my spine. The U.S. State Department is now saying that Al-Qaeda is no longer an issue in America. The issue in America now is ISIS. They're saying that ISIS has every intention on attacking this country, and that they will do everything within their power to bring us down. As I thought about ISIS, and as I thought about what happened to James Foley, I thought about our formidable enemy, the devil. We know that the devil is this angel that revolted against God. We know that Satan is someone who led a revolt against God, and one-third of the angels followed him. And they are now demonic forces who are roaming the earth trying to bring us down, trying to tempt us and to do everything within their power to compromise what we're trying to do for Christ. But I want you to see this morning that this formidable enemy called Satan is more sinister and more destructive than ISIS could ever be. As I have looked into the Word of God this week and studied in depth what the Scriptures say about this enemy, there is this one verse that I keep going back to. If you have a Bible, would you turn with me, please, to 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Peter writes, "Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." So what is it that Satan is trying to do in the world today? What are his objectives? I believe that the objective of Satan can be narrowed down to two realities, two phenomena, and it's this. He is seeking to separate people from God, and he is designing and scheming to separate you from others. That's exactly what he does. He lives to separate people from God, and he lives to separate you from other people. As a matter of fact, the way I see it is that the devil is the master relationship destroyer. He lives to build walls between us. And in this passage of Scripture, the Apostle Peter gives us two great insights in dealing with the devil. First, the devil's method of operation is to instigate the demolition of relationships. Let me say that again. His MO is to instigate the demolition of relationships. How do we know that? We know that from Peter's choice of the word the devil. Devil is from the Greek word diabolos, Diabolos is one who engages in slander, one who gives misleading or false information. This is the way Webster defines slander. Slander is the utterance in the presence of another person of a false statement damaging to the third party's character or reputation. As I have studied the scripture this week and went in depth into what God's word said about this enemy of ours, I've concluded that what Satan wants to do is to put God in a bad light. He wants to put your friends in a bad light. He wants to put your husband in a bad light. He wants to put your wife in a bad light. He wants to put your neighbor in a bad light. He wants to do everything within his power to build walls between you and other people. There's a Greek scholar by the name of Spyros Zodiades who was born of Greek parents and he was educated in the Greek system. He defines diabolos as one who falsely accuses and divides people without any reason. So what is Satan up to? He is about slandering. He is about putting thoughts into your mind that aren't true. But he has an ultimate objective. It is not that he just simply wants to put a thought in your mind that is not true. He does it for the ulterior motive of making you feel at odds with other people. That's who he is. It is in his spiritual DNA. It's in his nature to make you think bad thoughts about other people. The prince of the power of the air is called by this name slanderer because he originally slandered God in the Garden of Eden. Let's look together at how he did that. And let's look together at how it demolished Adam and Eve's relationship with God. Eden was this paradise. It was an amazing place. It was a place where Adam and Eve walked with God in the cool of the day. They had this open fellowship with God. It was this amazing intimacy. There was an amazing closeness between Adam and Eve and God. They talked to him. There was nothing hidden from their relationship with God. They were just as close could be, they were friends. So this relationship was characterized by openness and intimacy and closeness. Then enters the devil. What happens? Well, his slanderous nature is seen in the way he comes to Eve. And the very first thing out of his mouth is this: did God say to you that you can't eat from any of the trees in this garden? What is he doing? He's immediately trying to put God in a bad light. He's immediately trying to make Eve question God's feelings for her, whether he really has her best interest in mind. He is trying to build a wall between Eve and her creator. But listen to the question that he asks. Did God really say to you that you can't eat of any of the trees of this garden? Notice that it is a very false statement. It communicates misinformation. But more importantly, he intentionally is trying to put God in a bad light. Well, we know that Eve immediately defends her creator. And this is fundamentally what she says. Of course he didn't say that we weren't allowed to eat of any of the trees of the garden. In fact, he said that we could eat of all of the trees of this garden freely, every single one of them. He only put one tree off limits. And he told us that we should not touch it or eat it or we will die. And then Satan said to her through the serpent, "You will not die." And so what is Satan trying to do? Satan is trying to convince Eve that God doesn't really have her best interests in mind. He really does not love her. He's holding out on her. He's casting doubt on God's integrity. He is suggesting that God is jealous. And the reason why God put this stipulation on you, Eve, is because he just doesn't want you to become like him. That's all. He knows that the moment you eat, you're going to be just like him. And he just can't take it. So go ahead. It's going to be okay. Nothing is really going to happen. But look what happens. Genesis 3:8. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. A relationship that was once characterized by openness and intimacy and fellowship is now demolished. It is now characterized by separation, fear, guilt, and hiding. Are you beginning to see what he's trying to do? He did it with Eve, he did it with Adam, and he's trying to do it with you. Look at what Peter says. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Now, for the reader of this letter from Peter, can you imagine what they thought? My guess is that there was this vivid imagery in their hearts, because what was Nero doing at the time? He was feeding Christians to lions. And so when Peter said that the devil prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour, they knew exactly what he meant. And so the imagery was vivid in their minds. In the natural world, who does a lion attack? Well, we know that when we watch the National Geographic Channel and we see magazines, we notice that a lion chooses a victim who is not alert. A lion goes after someone that is least expecting it. When do lions roar? Lions roar when they are hungry, when they smell blood. Peter says that this roaring lion is seeking someone to devour. Who is this someone? Well, this someone, I believe, is a persecuted Christian, maybe in another part of the world. Maybe it's you trying to be a witness for Christ at your workplace, and you feel misunderstood and judged by people. You feel that your friendships are not what they could be because of your testimony for Christ. Who is the someone? It is a believer going through a trial. It is a Christian where things are happening in his life or her life, and he feels like the bottom is dropping out, and he's looking up into heaven and saying, God, how could this happen to me? I don't know if many of you know this, but someone who used to attend our church and who now lives in Texas, Larry and Diane Wilson. I mean, I've been following their lives for a long time. We became very close friends. I love them to death. They just retired. He was a top executive for an oil company. They had for many years been thinking about going back to Texas. They had this beautiful cottage on a lake. Their 33-year-old son, who loved Jesus with all of his heart, lived only a mile away. He was married. He had a couple of young children. And so Pam and I followed Larry and Diane's life for several years now, and so they went back to Texas. And not long ago, within the last couple of weeks, their son was on a construction site, 33 years old, sterling testimony for Jesus. He hit a gas line and was instantly killed. For years and years, they were dreaming about the day when they could go back to Texas and be with their son. and their daughter-in-law and their grandchildren, and now their hearts are breaking. Who is Satan trying to devour? Someone like that. And the truth is, you could be going through something just as heartbreaking. And I want you to know that when you are going through a situation like that, the devil knows you are vulnerable, he smells blood, and he's going to pounce at every opportunity he can. But I want to give one more biblical illustration for the fact that the devil is about destroying relationships. Most of us know that Adam and Eve had two sons by the name of Cain and Abel. And we know that in jealousy and anger, Cain butchered Abel. On the screen, you're going to see a picture of Peter Paul Rubens' depiction of Cain slaying Abel. We don't really know much about what happened other than Cain was extremely jealous, and we know he was angry over the fact that God accepted his brother's sacrifice but not his. But the Apostle John says something intriguing about what was really happening behind the scenes. Look at the way John says it in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 12. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. Now look at that phrase, belonged to the evil one. The New American Standard Version translates it this way, not as Cain, who was of the evil one. And so in John's mind, he regarded this tragic event between Cain and Abel as originating from and instigated by the devil. The devil evidently put these thoughts in Cain's mind. And they began to build. They began to explode in the spirit to the point where he was not only jealous and angry, he wanted to snuff his brother out. And by the way, the Hebrew word for slayed in the Hebrew Bible is the word that was used customarily of butchered. Because Satan so instigated this wall between he and his brother, he butchered his brother. Well, since this is the MO of the devil to instigate the demolition of relationships, since he wants to ruin your testimony, and since he wants to do everything he can to separate you from God, what precautions can we take as believers in Jesus? In 2002, there was this disease that entered China called SARS. SARS was this disease that affected the respiratory system. In only a few months, the disease spread across the entire world. By 2003, there were 8,098 people worldwide who had contracted SARS, leading to 774 people dying. Cases were reported over 30 countries in 5 different continents. There were only 8 cases reported in the U.S. The question is, how in the world did they get this massive spread of this disease contained? Well, David Heyman of the World Health Organization made this statement. It occurred at a time when health authorities around the world experienced an earlier collaborative efforts to halt the spread of meningitis, yellow fever, polio, and the Ebola virus were on the alert and ready to respond. How was it dealt with? How was this awful disease defended against? They were on the alert and they were ready to respond. So what is Peter's second great insight in dealing with the devil? Number 2, always remember, there is a biblical strategy for facing our formidable foe. I want you to remember the acronym SARS. S, self-control. The King James Version translates it, be sober. The word emphasizes a mind under control, a clarity of mind. The ESV captures it very well by saying, be sober-minded. In other words, you are sobered by the reality that there is this dangerous serpent who is trying to bite you and bring you down when you least expect it. And so therefore, you are in the Word, you are praying constantly, and you are clear-headed. You are not allowing the things of this world to fog your thinking about who God is and who your enemy is. S, self-control. A, alert. Don't ever let your guard down. Be like a sentry who is standing at the gate. He is looking for the enemy, and he is assigned to stay awake because there could be an attack at any moment. You've got your gun ready. You've got your armor on. And you realize that at any moment the enemy could come over the hill. You are like a sentry. But what are you alert for? You're alert for the slanderer to come and to begin to erode your relationships with people. Now, this is what I want you to see this morning. And if you will get this, I'm going to feel really good about this message. At the moment you begin to feel a relationship between you and your wife, you and your husband, you and your son, you and your daughter, you and your working associates go south, begin to sniff it out and ask, does this have the smell of fire and brimstone on it? Whenever a relationship begins to be strained between you and another person, ask yourself the question, could Satan, the slanderer, be behind this? Could he be misrepresenting that person's thoughts and heart and mind? Could he be slandering so that I'm not really understanding what they're about or who they are or what they did? Be alert. Have the mindset of a sentry. The word literally means to stay awake. It is the same word that Jesus used of Peter when he said, couldn't you stay awake for 1 hour? Same word, alert, stay awake. Now, 1 Peter 5:9 says this, resist him standing firm in the faith because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. R, resist him. This is a Greek word that is a term of defense. You're not attacking, you are defending. You are taking your stand on the Word of God, and you are refusing to be moved. That's what it means to resist. So we don't resist the devil with words directed at the devil. We don't resist the devil with words directed at his demons. We resist the devil by doing what Peter advises next, and that is S, standing firm in the faith. See, ultimately in the spiritual battle, we have to trust God. We have to keep our eyes on Him. We have to realize that Jesus at the cross has already won this ultimate battle. That there is this period of time, yes, when Satan is the prince of the power of the air. But at the cross of Jesus Christ, he won the ultimate victory. 1 John 4:4 says it this way, the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. You and I can only stand firm against Satan if we depend wholly upon Christ. You and I, if we are not in prayer, if we are not in this word of God, we are susceptible to being eaten alive by this roaring lion. Well, let me close with this. I began this morning by talking about James Foley. When ISIS attacked him, they attacked America. When ISIS attacked James Foley, they attacked you. They attacked me. And I want you to know that there are many of your brothers and sisters in Christ who are falling like flies. They're not losing their salvation if they ever had it. Once you're saved, you're always saved. But there are many of our brothers and sisters who are literally being eaten alive by Satan because they are so vulnerable and weak and they are discouraged. And whenever Satan attacks them, We need to have the mentality that they're attacking us. When he goes after our brother and sister in Christ, he's going after me. And so when you see a discouraged brother, come alongside of him, put your arm around him and say, I am here for you. You're going to make it. You can handle this. It is all because of the gospel. I love what Jimmy said today about the definition of gospel music. It's all about the gospel. What is the gospel? In 2 minutes, here's the gospel. Our wonderful Creator loved us so much that he sent his only begotten Son to this earth to be born of a virgin so that he could become the God-man, fully human and fully God, with the ultimate purpose of going to the cross. And when he hung on the cross, every sin that you and I had ever committed were all placed upon him. Isaiah 53 says that when your sin and mine were placed upon Jesus on the cross, that the Father literally smote him. In other words, he was punished instead of you. You know, the way I love to say it is this, that on the cross, God treated Jesus as if he had lived your life. But if you trust in Jesus, God will treat you as if you had lived Jesus' life. See, the righteousness of God will be credited to your account. The Heavenly Father will now look at you through the blood of Jesus. And if you have never trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior, may today be the day of salvation. Let's pray together. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. And I pray, dear Father, that all of us in this room would realize that we need to be on the alert because the devil, like a roaring lion, is seeking someone to devour. And I just pray that you would just make us spiritually aware, enable us to put on the whole armor of God every day of our lives. May we come alongside those who are being pounced by this roaring lion. And Father, for those who have never trusted in you as Savior, may they call upon the name of the Lord today to be saved. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.